You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Mr. Unlockdown, give it a rip.
Yeehaw.
Oh, Al's having a little problem with his headphones. He can't hear anything right now. Maybe it's a good thing. Anyway, good morning and welcome to Dave's Corner Garage. It really is a nice day in our neighborhood. Would you be mine? We have Alan Gelman, who's trying to figure out his headphones here on Dave's Corner Garage. We're now into our second week of our 21st anniversary, and it's Steve Scheinman in here along with Alan Gelman, and live from his studios that have just been reconstructed for the umpteenth time. Are you wearing pajamas again or what? Is Dave Redinger?
I prefer to call it a bunker.
A bunker.
You know, if Joe Biden can get away with staying in his bunker, there's got to be something there.
Well, that's a good idea. I think that. It's nice out. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We got a good show. What's coming up today, buddy?
All righty. We're going to be talking with Kerry Schmidt. Kerry, as we know, is our favorite OPP representative, and he's back. I asked him where he was, but he couldn't tell me because you'd have to kill me. So I didn't want to ask. So Kerry Schmidt's going to be back. We're going to be talking about what rights we have while driving our cars and the fact that the OPP is not going to be involved in the politics of shutdown. So that'll be an interesting conversation. Plus, they pulled a guy over last night going well over 200 Ks, and he wants to talk about the lack of traffic and the causation, I guess that's the word, of the fact that people are now speeding because there's nobody in front of them going the speed limit.
Well, maybe it was just a case of, you know, because of the new edict, they were trying to get home. So they have to be home as quickly as possible.
Yeah, right.
Then just stay there. So I'm just saying, Dougie, it's Dougie's fault. He told me to stay home. I got to go home.
Doug Ford's going to be on later on, Dave. Did you know we got a hold of him?
Sorry, I didn't hear it. Yeah, we got a hold of also Mark Silverman.
Yes.
Who's with Escort Ford. What else? He's got, there's two other dealerships, Young Steels Motors and Willowdale Ford. So he's going to be talking about what it's like to get your car serviced during a pandemic. I mean, when you can't buy a car real basically without an appointment, you've got to get into the showroom. You have to be wearing your mask and all the other protocols. But in reality, for service, when you drop your car off, do you stay there? Well, how do you handle it? What's going to happen? And Al's going to answer this. What do you do when they get your car back? I mean, strange people have been in there. So we're going to talk about that.
We're
going to talk about an incident I had on the highway yesterday, which I thought was fascinating. And
no, you didn't. You thought it, like, you filled your drawers with it. It was so bad.
We want to find out if accident mitigation will lead to litigation.
Yes, that is a... Alan, you're a wordsmith.
You know what? You were talking about how light the traffic is, and somebody in our condo teaches driving for students, right? And he says it's the absolute best time to be learning how to drive because the traffic isn't that bad. I mean, it's really pretty normal for some areas. It's not that busy, but that's what's going on. Al's all hooked up. He's happy now. He has his mask on his microphone.
Okay. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about something happened to me yesterday on the 404 highway coming home from construction sites.
Right. And also, because Kerry is going to be coming up a little bit later on, and we want to get the lines open right now. So if you have any questions at all about where you stand, any kind of, you know, I'm a little irry about what we can do, where you can drive, he'll be taking your questions, and it'll be later on this half-hour program.
And we'll find out why Dave had to change his shorts last night.
Oh, lovely.
Right after this break.
Pass
this
me
is
a coffee.
Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. We're now celebrating our 21st anniversary of being on the air, and we'll take your calls throughout the morning over to camera 42 with Alan Gelman on his, that's a nice blue mask. I like that.
You like that, eh?
It's so you.
All right. Well, you know, our friend David was so nice. He got his wife a brand new can we say Mercedes or we shouldn't say that? Okay, got a brand new Mercedes
a little while ago.
Now, and she loves it. But last night, they were driving their car, yesterday afternoon, I should say, and something terribly happened. Go ahead, Dave, tell us what happened.
Well, you know, first off, I'm very comfortable in a car. I used to race cars, you know, semi-professionally, and the only time I got scared was when my wife was waiting for me in the pits and I just rolled it in turn three. So the reality is I know how to handle a car. I know what a car's dynamics are, and I'm comfortable. So we're driving down the 404 like yesterday. Coming back, we have a construction facility or a construction site going on, and I'm driving about 120 Ks, and besides me is a Volkswagen, a little sedan, and we're both doing about 120 K, and we're catching this semi-truck. I'm in the center lane. He's in the passing lane, so we're about 200 yards behind the truck. And I could see the scenario coming where I'm going to have to slow down or go behind the VW. So I decide to actually step on the gas, go faster. And then my plan was to go in front of the VW, pass the truck, and come back into my own lane. So I step on the gas. I'm hitting about 130. I catch up to the truck, and I put the signals on. I plan to go to the left, and the car slams the brakes on.
Ooh.
And it scared the F out of me. The reality was we slowed down to the speed of the truck. The VW went ahead. But the car, instead of when reacting to my accelerator, slams on the brakes. And this is one of those nanny options that they hand you where it's got automatic braking. And the reality was I realized now in the morning what had happened. I got too close to the truck before moving over, and the car thought I was going to hit the truck.
All right, let me just quickly explain to our listeners, Dave, what you're talking about. This new device, it's been in for a couple of years now. It's called collision avoidance, okay? And what this is a device that sends a radar and laser beam out the front of your car to look at the distance between you and whatever's in front of you. In this case, in your case, it was a truck, but it could be a wall for that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea is that even though you've set the speed on your cruise control, for example, if it sees that the car in front of you or the vehicle in front of you is slowing down, it slows you down the same amount. And I can tell you, because I've had vehicles in where when that sensor goes, it won't even allow you to use your cruise control, you know, manually. So there has been safeguards or things in there to prevent this from happening. And as well, Steve confirmed on his car, and I know on our car, you can adjust the distance between you and the car that you're following. So it can be two car lengths or three car lengths or four car lengths. But you figure in the end, why did it happen, and can you avoid it from happening again?
Well, I think I could adjust the car so that it doesn't read as close or hitting the brakes. But the reality is I've lost trust in this car. When I try and change the lanes, the steering pulls me back to the center. If I use the signals, it does. In this case, I did have the signal on, so it should have known, or the computer should have known, that I was going to do a passing maneuver rather than banging into the back of the truck.
Well, you know, one of the points that I may want to bring up now is the fact that, you know, a lot of times when the salesman gives you the car, you got your new car.
Is this when they're jacking up the price?
No. I'm talking about, you know, the pre-delivery inspection, so to speak.
Yeah, for sure.
In other words, you know, when you're giving somebody a brand new car, and maybe they haven't got a new car for 10 years prior, they have no clue how half the things in the car work. And this is where it's important. In fact, they may even come up with some kind of new degree for a salesman as a delivery professional. Your brother has a car dealership. Do they have anybody special that does that, Dave?
Yeah, they do. And actually, the people at Mercedes did. They spent half an hour to with my wife in the car.
Okay.
But how much retention is there? You know, you push this button and it won't shut off in traffic. Push this button and it won't change lanes. You know, it's so complicated that, you know, we had a point in time in our, and again, I'm a mechanic, I'm an engineer. The reality is, I couldn't shut off the shifting. It wanted to shift manually. It didn't want to shift by automatic.
I know. Found sometimes, Dave, sometimes when I'm driving the my Honda Accord, right, even if it's in the city, if I'm driving, say, east, another car is coming west, and if that car is coming a little bit too close to me, this brake lamp comes on my dashboard, and it starts to stop my car, and I can't control the wheel. And that's pretty spooky. So when I'm on the highway, I turn that off.
Okay, so you can manually
delete it. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Most cars can. Okay. And I think the day's going to probably come where you can almost voice activate the control on your dashboard.
That would be ideal.
Yeah, we should do that. Make money.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
Well, you're going to go, help!
I didn't do that. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. The lines are open at, you'll get the lines when the pre-recorded announcement comes up. We're going to have Mark Silverman coming up next from Young Steels Ford Lincoln. And then later on, about 10 minutes, we're going to have OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt on to answer your questions about where you can drive and what they can or cannot do if you are pulled over. It's all pretty much nothing has changed, but we want to find out from the source. Al, take us out with your mask.
This is Dave's Corner Garage.
We'll be right
I'm
now.
Here in the studio underneath the blankets, it sounds.
It's cute.
Does it?
Stop tickling.
Anyways, we'll be right back.
And you can also go to davescornergarage.com and write in any questions you may have, because some people are bashful getting on the phone. So that's the way it goes. It's let's see, we got Dave Redinger in his home, and we got Alan Gilman with his blue mask. Did you change that this morning?
I did, as a matter of fact. Got a brand new one right here at the station.
That's beautiful. All right. Dave, over to you.
All righty. Do we have Mark on the phone?
We do.
Good morning, Mark, and congratulations. The Ford Mustang Mach-E won the Electric Vehicle Award as the best vehicle in the world, and also the other one, which is F-150 Best Truck. That always wins that Best Truck.
It's been the best truck for 100 years, so it can't beat it. Number one in the world.
Absolutely phenomenal. Congratulations.
Mark, how did the other car win the award when they're not even on the street yet?
Well, I guess they would get. Well, there is some.
Is there?
There's some pre-production models around. We've seen one already. I guess they just basically take it with the other manufacturers and they compare. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, how that works.
All right, so I'm excited. I want one. Can I order one? When and if so, when would I see it?
You can order one, and I don't think you're going to see it until the spring.
Okay, Dave.
I was going to say that they're because of Mr. Trump and his policies towards China, there is right now going on a lack of electronic equipment. The fact that they can't produce chips and they can't produce some of the other conductors that they need. Ford announced that they're closing a factory in Europe and will only be supplying Europe with a small focus for at least another 6 or 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's having problems getting parts. And it's part of the pandemic.
All right, Mark, I want to ask you on the service end of it. Mark is the – what's your official title there, Mark?
Fixed operations manager.
Oh, so you fix cars.
I fix the operations.
So even if the toilet backs up, it's your job, eh?
That's just smart.
That's it.
Okay. All right,
Mark,
so –
how do you work without parts?
Well, that's one of the biggest problems and one of the biggest obstacles that we're facing right now. Is the availability of parts. We have all kinds of maintenance parts, brakes and oil and all that, but when it comes to repairs, if something fails on the car, we're running into a dramatic shortage worldwide, industry-wide, not just focused on Ford, and it's becoming a problem, and it's becoming a lengthy problem, which is very difficult for customers to understand. Most customers feel that we should have every part at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, parts, engines, wiring, specific parts, just not available. They're not being produced. The factories are closed worldwide or producing very limited amounts, and it's become a very big concern.
Now, is this a case of the vehicles are off the road?
Yes.
Oh, so you're talking significant issues, not just the case of the radio doesn't work good.
Correct. Well, what I've done is I've set up like a triage system.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come in, if yours is vital and your car has to come off the road for safety concerns or non-drivability, that's one thing. But if it come in and, like you say, Dave, if the radio isn't working or the seat doesn't move or it squeaks, those are the kind of things we're stalling for now.
Right. So you can apologize and say, you know, we will take care of it, but we can't right this minute.
Right.
And it's not going to stop you. It may be, maybe give you a little less enjoyment, but at the same time, you're able to drive the car.
Exactly. There's no reason to take the car off the road for something that, again, is not safety concern. Might be a little bit of comfort concern, but no safety.
Okay, Dave?
Would you actually go to a non-Ford manufacturer if the part fits and it would work?
In extreme cases, the manufacturer will let you do that. However, if you do that, that's to get the car going. When the parts are available, we do have to replace them with the original factory parts.
Oh, I didn't know that. So you have to recall the guy and have and put back the right piece.
Yes, Ford will say, no, that kind of, if they give us the okay to go ahead and do that, then we do have to bring them back when the parts are available.
Interesting. So, but the idea is to keep the guy on the road and keep the
car. The idea is to keep the car on the road as much as possible. The other obstacles we're running into now are people are not understanding that not driving your car, especially in the last 2 or 3 years when technology has increased, is not a good idea. You need to drive your car. You need to get out and start it. You need to take it for a drive cycle, as we call it. And this will keep the car from having any further concerns over the winter when it's sitting stagnant. And people just aren't driving.
Mark, can you just run out and start it, let it run for a few minutes or shut it off?
You could do that, Alan, but you know what? The best is to take it for a drive cycle. Drive cycle, 11 or 12 kilometers, just take it for a little drive, Sunday drive. I mean, as long as you stay within your bubble, you're the only one in the car.
Right.
It's very healthy for the car because what people are going to be faced with when this is all over and we're back to somewhat normal is a lot of problems in the car, stuff that's just dried out or just not working.
All right, Mark, speaking of not working, we got to get out of here. Quickly, how do we get in touch with you for service or do you want to buy a new Ford?
Well, you can get a hold of me at Young Steels Ford Lincoln, 7120 Young Street. Our phone number is 905-889-7343.
There you go. If you wrecked your car because it sat too long, just give it, just trade it in. Have it towed to Mark, and they'll get you a new car.
That would be nice, but I'd like to fix a few, too.
All right. Mark, take care of yourself. We got to run. This is Dave's Corner Garage. After the break, we're going to be talking to OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt. We'll be right back.
Okay, back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. You can follow us online at davescornergarage.com. And we've been pushing this all week that OPP Sergeant Kerry Schmidt will be on for any questions you may have. So this is the time to call in. And, Alan, I'll hand it over to you, buddy.
All right. Well, Mr. Ford said, not the Ford at Young Steels Ford. We're going to talk about Mr. Ford as in Dougie. He has to try to mitigate again. Here we go. To keep the issues of the sorry, what am I trying to say?
Spit it out. Whether you can drive or not, or you have to stay home.
Exactly, to try to reduce the amount of COVID infections. Kerry, how are you?
Hey, fantastic. Thanks for having me on this morning.
You're very welcome. So we're supposed to stay home.
And that's exactly where I am right now.
How are you going to be catching bad guys if you're in your pajamas?
You guys got to relax once in a while.
Okay. Well, exactly. We do have officers out on the road like we do every single day. I'm not one of them, but happy to talk about what is going on because I know there is a lot of questions about that, whether or not there's going to be random stops. We're going to be stopping vehicles and finding out where they work or where they live and if they really are going to get milk. We're not going to follow them to the grocery store to make sure of that either. So
the question is, are you going to be doing that?
No, we want voluntary compliance. We will act on complaints from people regarding businesses or large gatherings that need to be investigated. And there is obviously the potential for charges to be laid for someone contravening these acts, $750 up to $1,000. And then for companies and other individuals, depending on the circumstances, up to $100,000 and even more for some offenses. But if you're out going for a walk, getting some exercise, getting your groceries, going to your job, wherever that is, we are not going to be asking you what you're doing, where you work, why you're out on the roads, and that's just not our priority at this point.
Kerry, a couple of the emails we got in on our Facebook page was this. If you are thinking about going back up to your cottage or you have family that lives out of Toronto, maybe it's a half an hour drive to, say, Barrie, and if they're driving, what could happen, if anything, that is different than it was before this COVID hit?
Well, if you're going to be like the guy that was stopped last night going 202 kilometers an hour, we're going to stop you and we're going to ask a lot of questions. And we're also going to take your car away from you and suspend your driver's license. But if you're going for a drive and you are obeying the rules of the road, there are no travel restrictions right now in the province. So within Ontario, you are permitted to travel to whatever destination you deem is appropriate and necessary. We are not going to be asking those questions. We are asking people to think about what their reasons are for doing this and making those their own decisions responsibly as everyone else is. And I can tell you the roads are certainly a lower travel today and yesterday than they have been, in the weeks past. So, there are a lot of people out there that are taking personal sacrifice and staying at home and not going out. And as much as say, sure, go take your car for a drive around the block and get its run cycle in. We're not going to stop you for that. So,
all right, let's see if our friend Davey has a question for him.
Yeah, I actually do have a question. Do you find that the people are taking advantage of this? Like the lack of traffic, do you find that their way they drive is actually different?
Well, yeah, and it's kind of like the guy going over 200 last night or yesterday. This was not during the late hours of night. We see aggressive drivers and people taking high risks right throughout the day because they have this open opportunity. They think the highways are wide open. Let's put the pedal down and see what we can do. And that's just completely inappropriate, and we will still be holding people accountable for that. So, again, we will be keeping our social distance as we're interacting with you. We'll be wearing personal protective equipment and, trying to reduce as much contact. So we may not actually take your ownership and driver's license from you. We may just actually look at it and write it down. So we're not actually touching things that are going to stay with your possession.
So, Kerry, in your opinion, does it look like there is a consistency between what the OPP are doing and what Metro is doing?
Yeah, I heard what Toronto Police's mandates and the direction was, and that's very similar with us and with the messages that came out from the Association of Chiefs of Police Ontario. They are also saying much of the same information. So this is consistent across the province, and you won't be surprised by one police service over another. I think everyone's pretty much on the same page. Our bylaw officers and community officers in your community or city are going to be following up on complaints. And obviously we also want to, again, encourage people. If you see, a group of people gathering at a house, maybe it sounds like there's a party going on, that is not a 911 emergency. That is something that we will investigate, but please don't use that number. Call your 311 or whatever your non-emergency line is to make those reports and leave the 911 calls open for those true emergencies that require paramedics, fire, police response immediately.
All right. I have a question.
Go ahead.
You pulled me over for 200 kilometers an hour. What does the guy say?
How many points are on that? That's what he said.
What do I owe you?
And so, you know what? The points are the least of your problems right now. So, but that was his bona fide question. He didn't really have too many other concerns. He just wanted to know how many points he was going to lose.
Officer, have you never been in love? I was heading to go see the girlfriend.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, I don't know what his hurry was. With traffic being the way it is, you give yourself the time you need to get there, you're going to get there. And for you to be doubling your speed and cutting your travel time in half. Or
her parents were out shopping at Costco. They only had a few minutes of separate time.
You're speaking like you've actually sent some of these things to officers.
Oh, I got caught once, actually.
You did? Once?
Yeah. There's a website where you can have excuses to the police that actually work.
Well, there aren't many. And, if we do ask a question, if we ask you how fast we're going, it's not because we don't know how fast you're going. For me, I just want to see if you're actually going to tell me the truth. And depending on that, maybe I can give you some credit, give you a break, and I want you to be honest and truthful, because what we're seeing out there, I've only known you for 30 seconds, and if all you tell me are lies, then I don't know where to go with that.
Yes, but I've been watching you on TV for years, Officer.
Kerry,
you're so more handsome in person.
Some people have been writing and asking. They feel it's somewhat similar to when this thing first started back in the spring and summer, where they were hesitant of going up to the cottage. So you're basically saying, if you're going up there, it's cool. You're okay to do that.
I'm saying it's not illegal.
Okay.
So I know there's been a lot of discussions, yep, and a lot of communities, northern communities, they didn't want you know, people from outside their community, and there's a lot of discussion about that. I'm hearing the news, people going up to BC and traveling up to Whistler, and like, yeah, that's, you know, the small clinics, the small hospitals, you know, if people do get sick, you know, they're in a position where they may not have the capacity as well. So that we're asking you to follow the public health guidelines. Doug Ford is asking everyone to stay home, as simple as that, and that's exactly where I'm sitting myself this weekend, and I'll be responding and talking on the phone. I know I've been talking to a lot of people on social media through our Facebook and Twitter accounts, and people asking me questions. Can I go shopping in the town next to my community where I live? And like, yes, you are allowed to, but again, once you cross the border, if you go to the States or if you go interprovincially, now there may be different restrictions in different provinces that I'm not privy to. And if obviously if you are returning from abroad, then there is the mandatory quarantine and isolation that you need to abide by.
Do you think we're ever going to get to the point where you'll be handing out like rapid tests?
Boy, I guess that's a question for the doctors and the people in the health field. I don't know. I know they're talking about the vaccines right now, and they're losing some supply over the next few weeks. So I don't know how that's going to be. I know I've got my mask and my gloves, and it's funny when you're wearing a mask, even in the wintertime outside, it's actually almost a little bit warm. You take your mask off, like, wait a second, that mask isn't very warm, but it actually cuts the breeze, and it is a beautiful day today. So
yeah, it is.
If you are outside, enjoy that sunshine, because we haven't had it for a while.
All right, Dave's got a question.
Yes, not a question, but a comment. I was reading an article yesterday where people were driving to Florida, and these are Americans, not just Canadians, to try and get their vaccine and then leaving the next day. And Florida is announcing that, one, there's not a lot of vaccine left, and number two, if that's your case, you've only been in town for a day, you're not getting it. So Canadians that are thinking of flying down to Florida just to get their vaccine and come home, some are willing to pay up to $80,000 for a one-way private airplane trip down and up. They're not going to get the vaccine. The Florida people, unless you own property down there and are a snowbird, you're not going to get it.
Yeah, you know what? I've heard on the news as well about people, you know, getting fraudulent vaccines in other countries, and they're just paying money for nothing. And
for what?
That's scary. If you're traveling abroad, again, that doesn't really fly with what we're asking people to do, to voluntarily comply with the essentials. And, you know, we need to all work together at this. And hopefully we're all going to listen to our elected officials and our public health officials that have the information, that have the stats, and have the data that, you know, we're basing these decisions on. And we all need to work together at this. So, you know,
I think Canadians are nice. We're a lot nicer than the Americans are. I mean, the truth is the Americans will step up and start screaming. We're just being nice and just waiting.
All right, speaking of waiting, we got to get out of here. Kerry Schmidt, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Star OPP, if somebody's doing something stupid on the road, right?
Anytime.
Okay, or dial 311, please, not 911. This isn't that big an emergency. And speaking of speed tests, you know, the OPP is doing them, but they're using a laser gun, eh?
What's that? Sorry.
You're using a laser gun. Never mind. Speed test. We got to get out of here. This is Dave's Corner Garage.
Slow down.
Take care, Kerry. Bye-bye.
That's kind of cool to have Kerry back on, because it's been a while, and it really clears up the what can I do, what can I do? So it's basically, you know, business as usual since really the April. You just got to be careful with it. That's all. And just follow the protocols and
should you be ratting
out
your neighbor, though? I mean, seriously, should you be ratting out your neighbor?
Well, there are things going on with people that are, you know, who work within 911,
mm-hmm.
and if they are getting calls, some people are actually snitching on the neighbors, which should be, Mr. Rogers would not be happy. Dave, you got some emails to get to that we had.
Yes, we got a couple of announcements.
Go ahead.
First announcement is General Motors is announcing a new commercial truck division called BrightDrop.
What is that?
BrightDrop would be basically what looks like a FedEx delivery van. It's strictly electric.
Mm-hmm.
It's a plug-in. You don't have any backup. has a range of about 250 kilometers and is used by, actually, FedEx bought a bunch of them. He bought 75 of them. So it's the start of a new division for General Motors. Again, it's called BrightDrop.
Well, speaking of bright ideas, they've decided they want to put $1 billion into our Ingersoll plant, eh?
Yes. I heard that this morning.
Yes, it was called the Kamai plant, and it was a plant that's been around for about 20 years at least. They used to build Suzuki's there, the Geo Tracker. They built, and most recently they've been building the Equinox there. But they're going to trash them. I guess they're going to tear it down, or they're just going to refurb the whole thing?
Probably they could be involved with this BrightDrop project. You know, I don't know.
So it's going to be fully just electric vehicles being produced there?
Yes, that's the market. They expect by 2030. Will be really heavy into electric vehicles.
Well, you know what they've tried to do for years is make common platforms, okay? So, in other words, it's going to be a thing that looks like a skateboard for the most part, where the whole floor is battery, you've got wheels front and back, and you've got your motors there, and you can put different kinds of bodies all over it.
Yep, whatever fits.
All right, cool.
Now, number two, Amazon is providing automakers with Alexa. You know, there's this video that's on the internet where Alexa, she actually tells the cops what the guy did. He ran the lights and everything else. But apparently, Alexa...
That's crazy. I ask Alexa to turn on a song, and they go, that's it.
So that's coming to your car. Looks like Fiat, I think, was the first one to come on board. And you know that Fiat and Peugeot have merged and become the fourth largest car manufacturer in the world. So we'll be starting to see some Peugeots and stuff pretty soon in North America. And lastly on the list is the Detroit Auto Show has been canceled permanently. It's going to be now at a racetrack in September, and they were calling it Motorbella.
Yeah,
Motorbella. And that's going to be in September. So maybe we'll take a trip up there and drive out.
Sounds good.
Okay, I have a question for you that came in as an email. And the question was, dashboards warning lights in your car. Red ones, green ones, yellow ones, and blue ones.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a message in the color of the light?
Well, of course. I mean, and there, it's for the most part, the red, yellow, and green are light traffic signals. In other words, if you see a red light, that means you got to stop pretty much immediately or as soon as you quickly can safely do it. If it's an amber light, well, my dad used to say, go like hell. You want to try to beat the red light. but no, what it means is trying to get your attention that there is an issue. Now, it may be a drivability issue. It may not be. It could be an emissions problem only where, you know, your gas cap is a little loose.
Right.
That's not a reason for you to hit the brakes on the highway and pull off. And all it means is that the next time you get an opportunity, either look into it yourself or take it into a shop and have them scan it for you and find out what's going on. And the other lights, well...
Yellow and blue.
With the blue one, well, of course, the blue one is the high beam indicator for the most part, I think. I don't know whether they use it for anything else. Perhaps some cars used to use a blue light when the engine was still cold. Have you seen one of those lately?
Yes, I've seen that years ago, yes.
Right. But otherwise, the blue light is normally if your high beams are on.
And green is just an indicator that something is running.
Right. You see, people with BMWs don't know that because when they put their signals on, they don't see that green light flashing, eh?
So the reality is the code in the color actually does mean something that I don't really know if people realize that.
Well, Dave, we used to talk about the, you know, the short form RTFM.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want to explain what does that mean, Dave?
Read the F in manual, but you can't do it anymore. It's online.
Sure you can. You still got to read the manual.
I would put it in the washroom because that's the only place I like reading.
You could just go to Amazon and say, Siri, how do I operate my vehicle? And it probably would tell you.
Well, there is a car, I don't know if it's BMW or Hyundai,
mm-hmm.
that have it right now, the new cars, where you basically are talking to Siri. Hey, Siri, set my radio to this.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, Siri, set my temperature in the car. Can you imagine, like with Kerry Schmidt on the air, hey Siri, I just saw somebody go by me at 50 kilometers more an hour. It's gonna happen one day.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. And you would tell it and it would start, it would hit your phone buttons and go star 911, I guess.
It would tell you.
Star OPP.
It would say, okay, Siri, this guy's going by me at 50 kilometers an hour, more than the speed limit. Siri would say, what song would you want to hear again?
No, Steve, but they have a thing, we have Waze. And Waze tells us where the police are.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that only works when somebody, another person who uses Waze, puts it up. I don't know that it knows automatically, does it?
No. Somebody has got to be visible, mm-hmm. and they have to be able to punch it in quickly.
The other thing it does as well, in case you don't know you're speeding, you know, it will flash the speed on the Waze platform as well, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Okay. Just a quick question. The last one was, I don't know if you can answer this. Hi, Dave, blah, blah, blah. What makes your car collectible?
What makes it collectible? Yeah. You mean to, like, the scrap collector or?
No.
Oh.
He's saying, is it a worthwhile investment to keep your car for 30 years on the road?
Well.
And if it doesn't become now a collectible.
Okay, so is it, well, I mean, certainly if you take care of your car and you service it regularly, if you look at the numbers over a long period of time, it probably is worth it, provided you don't want all the new, you know, upcoming things that have, you know, toys that the car has. But if you're asking if it's worthwhile to keep, because years from now it's going to be worth a lot of money,
yeah,
that depends on a lot of things. So first of all, you're not going to be wanting to drive it regularly, because the first thing that people look at when they're looking at a classic car is, was this car winter driven, right?
Yeah.
And if that was your daily driver, well, that's not going to be the case, or you're going to have to be a good liar.
But so, if it's a Camaro or a Mustang, or there's cars out there that have perceived values.
Exactly. I mean, if they have limited production numbers and or there's something special, you know, then they'll be worth it. But you got to treat it special. That's the only way it's going to happen. All right, Dave, I don't know if you can hear the music, but we got to take a break. We're going to have some more questions right afterwards, correct? All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
DavesCornerGarage.com is the website you can go to, and also our Facebook page, and you can see all the stuff that's coming up for next week. And this guy's been waiting patiently on the phone, so exactly. Gelman, go for it.
We're going to hit the highway, go 401 West, and we're going to go to Kitchener, where we've got Howard online. Howard, how are you?
I don't know how patient I've been, you guys. but in any case, the ad that you run through the week about the lady that can't turn on the ignition?
Yeah.
I had a car just like that years and years ago. What the remedy I found was that you get a gang of people to rock the car back and forth, and the ignition will free up. It changes the position of the wheels. And if you don't have a gang of people there, the other remedy is to force the steering wheel one way or the other as you're trying the key, and it will also open up the lock.
Yeah, but you'd have to have five masks for all those people, wouldn't you?
Well, I carry that many in the car anyway.
Perfect, perfect.
Because I keep losing them.
Yeah, what do we tell people to do, too? It happens quite often. If you can think about it beforehand, and because, if, for example, at my shop, we give people a loaner car, and it may not be exactly like theirs, and they're not familiar with it. So we tell people, leave the steering, when you park the car and shut it off, try to make it so that the steering wheel is straight ahead. Because if it's on an angle at all, especially if you get in the car, use the wheel as a brace, for example, you may pull it, and then all of a sudden it gets locked, and then they're stuck. So we appreciate that, Howard. What kind of cars that you
car
drive?
I've had hundreds of cars over the years. Well, I exaggerate. I'm 86 years old, but I had a car one only that did that, and it did it frequently.
Right, but how long did it take you to figure out how to get it unlocked?
Oh, I got used to it right away, because I yanked on the wheel a couple of times, and then I found that the ignition would open up. It would start.
Perfect. Howard, thanks for calling in. We do appreciate your input.
Take care.
You too, man. Drive carefully.
I just hope that doesn't get down to Washington if people start rocking cars down there.
I just got a note from somebody that says,
yes,
I've got a Honda Accord. I'm the third owner. So there's no documentation. Had to have the alternator replaced, and now my radio says the word code, C-O-D-E. What do I do?
Well, it depends on the year of the car. On the early ones, you actually had to have the number, and if you didn't have the number, then the radio had to be removed, and you had to get the serial number off the back of the radio, then call Honda Canada, and if you were lucky, they gave you the number if you could prove that you were the owner. On the newer ones, what you have to do is you have to press two buttons on the dashboard on the radio at the same time, and that will cause the radio to actually spit out the serial number, so that at least stops you from having to remove it. And then you can call the dealer, and if they believe that you are you, they will give you the number. But that also happens, Dave, for both navigation controls as well, because, you know, we've got like a whole friggin' television set on the dashboard, yes, not just the radio. So if you want all that to work, it has to all go. Sorry, go ahead.
I think they did it because the people were stealing radios, but I don't think they do that much anymore. They steal more airbags than they do anything else.
Well,
airbags and catalytic converters.
Oh, catalytic converters is a big one. As a matter of fact, one of our friend garages around the corner, apparently they lost six of them. They had six Chevys outside. It happens more so on trucks because you'll see a guy coming to steal. He's a big guy, okay?
Oh, he's from a different country,
yeah,
I see.
Yeah, he's a big guy, got a big stomach, and he can fit underneath car. So, but figure out, truck is much higher.
You realize the Russian mob could be listening to you right now?
I never said they were.
Yeah,
Russian.
I'm wondering, too, like, are you seeing, in from the garage point of view,
mm-hmm.
because there is such a shortage of product, is there theft going on?
Thankfully, it hasn't been too bad. So, in other words, Dougie's working. He, like, the thieves are staying home as well, as far as I can see.
Yeah, right.
But what we do see, which is a real pain in the butt, is, and we try to bring that up, we have a sign up actually at our shop where a lot of cars now have wheel locks put on their car. And that what that is a special lock that fits on each wheel. It replaces the original nut, and you need a special socket to take that wheel off. And so it does happen lots of times where people go, What lock are you talking about?
So if you put that on, does that lock your car and nobody can steal your car from the driveway?
No, that's just to stop somebody from stealing the wheels on your car.
Oh.
The wheels and tires and sensors, which can be terribly expensive if they do that. So yeah, that's a bit of a pain. So you should know if your car has one of those, and you should know where the lock is. Because if you happen to get a flat tire on the side of the road, if you want to do it yourself, or even if you have the CAA come, they don't have the magic tool to get that wheel off, and they would actually have to tell you. You run into that, Dave?
Yeah, I run into that actually with personal cars where we've lost the key.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically have to chisel off the key lock.
Very hard to do on the side of the road.
Alan's not telling you something that he won't let you leave a car there overnight because it's theft.
Well, no, exactly. I don't want to have to call a person the next day and say, did you have tires on your car when you parked it?
It's another Russian person.
No,
part of your background or what?
Well, as a matter of fact, yes.
Natasha?
Like, find the squirrel. Where's the squirrel?
Watch people who are rubbing it. All right, listen, we want to thank everybody who called in. Kerry Schmidt for the OPP. And that number, once again, that you can get is what? What did he say again?
311? Star OPP.
Star OPP is one. And if you need to get your car serviced, youngsteelsfordlincoln.com is their website, and you can hook up with an appointment on that. We've got some more great shows lined up for the rest of this month, which hopefully gets out of here pretty quick. It's a gorgeous day, everybody. Have a great weekend. Be safe. And we will talk to you next week on Dave's Corner Garage.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.